pleasure to introduce our brother Marvin as our speaker this evening, and I'm sure that he would appreciate your kind attention and your silent prayers as he brings us the word. Brother Marvin.
Thank you. Well, the song we just sang was a very true song, you know, look for the beautiful. We need to look for the beautiful at all times, and as it says, you know, people are whispering about you, good or bad, and so we need to bypass those thoughts up that they bring against us. If we do those things the Lord would have us to do, then all would be well there with us. It is to Him, our Maker and our Captain, that we look to for our help and guidance. I'd like to start here in the book of Proverbs, in the 8th chapter, and read a few verses here. Beginning with verse 13, says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. These are things that we need to not partake of, an evil way or an evil tongue or speaking evil of people. And that we should let our thoughts rest upon the world, upon the Lord, excuse me. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. And how true that is, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar mentioned it very well there, that, you know, he knows that after the Lord had knocked him down a little bit, he was aware that the Lord did rule in the heavens above. And as it says elsewhere, you know, that kings rule by the Lord. He puts them in power. Just like the president we have in power today. It is by the will of the Lord that he is there. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And true it is. The Lord truly loves those that that love him. You know, we say that the Lord is not a God that picks one people over another, that whoever keeps his commandments, he will bless. He does not discriminate against anyone. But we should remember, God gives gifts to those whoever he chooses. He chooses to give gifts to those that love and obey him. That's what he does. To those that will keep his commandments, he will bless them. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. And so he does bless those that will keep his commandments with those things from heaven. The promptings of his spirit, he'll direct and guide them and counsel them in the way. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit in substance, and I will fill their treasures. And truly he does. And as I said, you know, the Lord is not discriminating against who he will bless. But he chooses to bless those that love him and keep his commandments and obey him and do his will. Those are the ones that he chooses to bless. I'd like to go over into the book of Mark, and in the 8th chapter there. Beginning beginning on verse 14 in the 8th chapter of Mark. Did I say Matthew? In the book of Mark. 14th verse. It says, I touched on this here not too long ago, and you know others have too, but it says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And the reason among themselves, saying, is because we have no bread, you know. They're wondering. They haven't fully comprehended what the Lord is trying to tell them. You know, we can read here and we can see and we say, well, why don't they understand? But they're human just like we. And so they did not understand their reason among themselves. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many basketful of fragments took ye up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many basketfuls of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? And so the Lord did explain to him that this leaven that he was speaking of was leaven of the world around the people here. As Apostle Paul says, you know, a little leaven will leaven the whole bread or the whole cake or all of it. A little leaven that creeps in. It just keeps going. And you know, everybody here, I think, is aware what leaven does, or yeast, if we want to use that terminology. It makes the whole bread, the cake, whatever, rise up. We look at it for good there. But it does the same thing here as Jesus was talking to his 12 here, they have to be careful of that leaven. That leaven is the doctrine and the teachings of the world. They're not the teachings of Christ. And so it's easy to creep in. You know, the adversary, he is busy then, he's busy today, to lead people away from Christ. That's what he wants. He wants them to lead them away from the Lord. I'd like to go over here into the Book of Mormon on page 298. And begin here with verse 3 and read a few verses. And it come to pass that in the first year of the reign of Alma, in the judgment seat, there was a man brought before him to be judged, a man which was large, and was noted for his much strength. And he had gone about among the people, preaching to them that which he termed to be the word of God, bearing down against the church, declaring unto the people that every priest and teacher had ought to become popular, and they ought not to labor with their own hands, but that they ought to be supported by the people. And you know, The people here were beginning to listen to him. You know, they were partaking of that leaven, the false teachings that is in the world. Some of them, no doubt, were not of the church, but I'm sure that there were some of those that were of the church. And so he's telling them here that they ought to be preaching for money. You know, it says back in Nephi, 2 Nephi, that that's preachcraft, when you preach for money, is what that is, preachcraft. Paul said that, you know, he didn't preach for the love of the money, but he preached for the love of the word of God. And so he didn't receive wages at all, not saying that he did not get help along the way as it was needed and as we as individuals are supposed to help our ministry or whatever along the way, or our neighbor or whoever it might be. And he also testified unto the people that all mankind should be saved at the last day, and that they need not fear nor tremble, but that they might lift up their heads and rejoice. And, you know, that's a pretty good doctrine, that you don't need to worry about everybody's going to be saved. We run into that, you know, from time to time, here and there a little bit, you know. We have it in one of our major religions here that teaches this sort of a thing, that once they're baptized and saved, they can do anything they want. They're saved. And, you know, this is some of that leaven that we're supposed to beware of and watch out for, that we don't partake of it. You know, it's just like today. When you go out to a cafe, you go into one and you've got a big old smorgasbord table there. Man, just love it. And people over here, you know, they're sitting down, their tables are just full, and they're really enjoying it. We got another table over here, there's only one or two people at. And the other tables are empty. Where we're at today. They go in there and they partake of that smorgasbord and eat of it, and all just happy as can be to partake of that food on there, and they get sick. They get so they don't hear very well. They get so they don't see very well as well. You got the other two people that's over here at the other table, and they're eating choice food, very nutritious food. They're well and strong. They're not sick and weakly like those that's been eating at the smorgasbord. Just anything they want. Well, that smorgasbord is, what is that? That's the doctrine of the world, the teachings. That's what that smorgasbord is. It's the false teachings of the world. And people are just loving to eat at that table. Boy, they really enjoy it. But there's only two that's over to the other table that's eating that nutritional food that's real good, that gives them eternal life. Well, that's the way we have to be. Sometimes people, being human, they want to sometimes go over and taste of that smorgasbord a little bit and get something off of there that looks real tasty. But it's poison to the soul is what it is. It's not nutrition for the soul of the Lord's people at all. It's just like here, this fella, Nehor is his name, he's telling them to eat from that smorgasbord table. That's good food, wholesome food there. Not telling them the truth at all. And so we have that same thing in the world today. People telling them to come and partake of that smorgasbord. It's very good. They don't want to take of that other, that's a table that's set there for the individuals at all. And so they pass it up and don't hear about the good news that the Lord come in the world to break the bands of death, to open the way for eternal salvation to those that will be obedient to his commandments that he has given. Now, we should understand those commandments are not grievous to keep that he has given to us. They're easy, but you know, because we get our eyesight a little bit darkened sometimes. We think they're real hard to keep, but they're not. The Lord has said, you know, that he has made the way that we should go in. You know, he was baptized, and yet he was holy and didn't need it. But yet to be obedient unto his Father. He was baptized to show us the way that we, too, need to be baptized. Come into his kingdom. I'd like to go back to the Bible here in the book of Luke. On the 14th chapter. And I'd start here at the 16th verse in the 14th chapter here. Now this Jesus here, he says, Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. Isn't that what we got today? The Lord has welcome everybody to come in. But, you know, they don't want to come in. And sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are ready. You know that table is set. There was only two men in that cafe that were sitting at that table. That was all. There was a lot of them on that smorgasbord table that was sitting over there enjoying themselves. But here, they wouldn't come to that nutritional food. That nutritional food is the doctrine of Christ, that which he has given. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. You know, excuses are a manipulation of man and the adversaries, really, is what they are. They just don't want to do the will of the Lord. You know, we make excuses with the Lord as well. He sometimes sits in the middle of us. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, here's another fellow that didn't want to come either. He had another excuse. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, here we have another individual that doesn't want to come either. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly in the street and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And see, if you have studied the scriptures, who is it that accepts the gospel? It's the poor that of the world that accepts the gospel. It isn't those that sit in king's houses that are rich and have a plenty and all of that, but it's the poor people that will hear the word and want to come to the Lord. We can look there if we want to, right in Africa, you know, as we're working over there. It's the poor class of people that we're having success with. In the Philippines, it's the same way. It's the same way down in Mexico and Honduras, and it's the poor class of people. They're more humble. They're more meek in their natural makeup. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And see, there is all kinds of room for the people to come and partake of this supper. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highway and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And so true it is. We know, you know, it says in the scriptures that he that hears the gospel and comes along with it for a while and then turns away, that his mind begins to get darkened. They don't really realize that the adversary has blinded their eyes, touched their understanding so that they don't comprehend as they should anymore. And so as the Lord is telling the people here to go and call them in. But it is the poor that hear the word and desire to partake of that heavenly feast and that supper. As I said, you know, in that cafe there and that smorgasbord and them others, you know, there's only two overeating at that one table where the real nice and nutritional food was. The rest passed it up for the smorgasbord. In other words, the leaven of the world. That's what they're taking of. And they were enjoying it. My, how they enjoyed it. Let us go over to the book of John here, the fifth chapter, and read a verse here. In the fifth chapter of John. Thirty-ninth verse of the fifth chapter says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his name, him you will receive." And how true it is. You know, Nehor was a typical example of that. Serim was another one that was a typical example of that. And Kohor as well. And there are others that are examples of those that don't want to come. They bring forth that false leaven, that false doctrine. They wouldn't hear. And here Jesus is speaking to them as well. Of course, here it's the Pharisees and those around them, the scribes and whoever they might be, other than his people. And they wouldn't want to hear him. They didn't want to hear him. I guess he was challenging their position in life. They didn't want to give it up, or they figured that they couldn't enjoy life to the fullest by following Jesus. This is what our friend the adversary will try and teach us, that you got to be with the crowd. And that's just the opposite of what the Lord has said. We've got to come out of the world and not partake of it, is what the scriptures say. We're in the world, that is true. But we don't have to partake of the evil of the things they're in. I'd like to go back here to the 15th chapter of Matthew. You know, I'll begin here with verse 1. You know, they was really giving the Lord a bad time here. They challenged him time after time, and he put them to shame and quiet. They didn't know what to say at times, but, you know, they were never happy. They just could not accept what he was teaching them at all. And so in verse 1 here, I'll start in the 15th chapter, begin with verse 1. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread?" Now, this was never given in the beginning, this thing. But, you know, down through the centuries, traditions come along. This church is encumbered just as well with some of those false teachings as well as the way of the world. These traditions are easy to come by, and I sometimes read in the Old Testament how some of the traditions come about that they had, and it's kind of a strange situation how they creep in. But here, one creeped in to this God of washing of hands. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? And see, here's another tradition of man that had crept in. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. And see, this is what we have to be careful to today. But you know, them traditions still creep in upon us. They're upon probably every one of us. Let's go that route. They're probably every one of us have some false traditions within our hearts. Why we don't see them, but they're there sometimes because our minds are a little bit clouded because we've been over there taking to that smorgasbord that we shouldn't have, and it darkens our eyes and darkens our understanding. Verse 7, it says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And true, we have to be careful of that. This is really a nice hypocrite that these people are falling into here. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's what Jesus was telling them, this washing of hands and the other. They wasn't following fully the teachings of Christ at all. But somewhere down through the time, these things somehow get festered upon the people. And how? They just do. I don't really know how. But I'd like to back up here to the 7th chapter of Matthew in the 22nd verse here. I'll start here with verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And true it is, you know. There's a lot of people say they do the will of the Father, and they're rather proud about it and all of that. But it's not going to be that way at all. It'll be for those that will truly humble themselves before the Lord and desire to follow him as he has given. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And truly, I'm sure there's many of the people of the world that come up and make this statement. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. And so it is, you know, he's not going to go along with everybody. I'd like to go back into the 15th chapter of Matthew again and read there. That'll go along with this verse. I'd like to begin here at verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And truly, you know, he spoke kind of hard to them. You can go there in the, I think it's the 23rd chapter of this book here of Matthew, where he speaks pretty hard to the Pharisees in that. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, most you fall into the ditch. And truly, this is just what happens here, that the blind lead the blind, because they've been taken of the leaven or the doctrine of man and not the doctrine of Christ at all. They have been at that smorgasbord of helping themselves to the leaven of the world. And so we have to be aware that these things are about, and we need to compare careful in the scriptures, our teachings and our thoughts, that they compare with our two books. Really, we're more blessed in one respect, not that we're better people or anything, that I want to say we're well blessed, it's that we have that second book to help us and guide us in this walk of life. It makes things, as I want to say, pretty well clear on so many things. And so if we follow that, we are doing very well, but we have problems. Again, the traditions of men enter into our lives, and they rub the shoulders with us along the way, and we have to try to keep away from them. As Jesus said, and I quote, you know, he says, we can't serve two masters in this world. We have to be very careful of which one that we serve. We want to serve the Lord. That's our desire here very much. And by following what he has given, we can. We're all here because we have learned that this is his church. And so we have escaped so much of that poison that's on that cafeteria smorgas table. We have been able to escape it. I'd like to go over here and John and read in the 12th chapter. I'd begin here with verse 34 in the 12th chapter. It says here, the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? You know, we got, in a way, what you call 20/20 hindsight. If Jesus was here walking among us and working, like he was here among the people here, would we really understand all the things that he had said and that, comprehended them, really? I'm sure a little bit that we'd be a little bit like Doubting Thomas, or I would anyway. You know, I'd have some thoughts in my mind about it. You know, time after time he told his disciples that they didn't understand the things that he was telling them, and they didn't comprehend them. Would we be any different? I don't think we would. Human nature being what it is. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. You know, we have that light, and that light is Christ. We're to follow what he has given, his teachings, to walk in his ways. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And I think everybody here can understand that pretty well. Nighttime, if you get up and you have to go outside to see if something's going on, or you're maybe one of the little children is crying or something, you got to get up and go see what they're doing. And one of them left a little toy across the path, and you trip over and fall, you can get hurt pretty good because you can't see where you go at in the dark. You may know the route and that, but if somebody has put something in front of you that you're not aware of there, and you trip over it, you get hurt. That is just the way it is today. We partake of those things and we get hurt. And so the Lord is our light. He says, I have set an example before you. And so just like baptism is one example. As he said, you know, we should love those in the world, whoever they be. If we only loved our brothers and sisters here, what more is that really than those of the world? We're to love all people. Doesn't mean that we have to associate with them or go along with their ways. I talk to people from time to time and try to interest them in the gospel, but you know, they just don't want to hear. What I'm telling them doesn't sound good to their ears, you know. Their eyes is darkened and their understanding is darkened is what it is. It says, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. And that's what we are, is be the children of light to those that are in the area around us. There's a lot of people here in the outside world that's in the dark. Yes, they're in the dark. We're in the light. And so we need to be an example to them, live the good way so that, you know, they cannot always speak evil of us as they did of Jesus, but, you know, even then they will not speak well of you. They'll come up with something and all of that. On verse, I'd skip over here a little bit. On verse 44 it says here, Jesus Christ cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. And truly, that's what Jesus did. He come that his light may be here in the world, and the people may have that light and come unto him and have that eternal life. I'd like to go over to 1 Timothy and read here in the fourth chapter. On the 16th verse here, it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine that he has given them there. Take heed of it. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so the same is for us. We need to be mindful of the words that we hear and compare them with what is given in the scriptures. For these two books are here for our welfare. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Marvin. At 7 p.m. on Wednesday will be scripture study. We'll close this evening with song number 317. 317.